Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome back to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. And this weekend, my friends, we remember the unborn child. In 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court said that human offspring are not persons before birth. As a result, abortion became legal in the United States. In 1976, the U.S. Supreme Court also said that minor daughters can have an abortion without their parents' consent. And as we reflect back on these decisions, my friends, we know that there is work to be done. To preserve life, to protect life, to defend life, and to do all that you and I can to follow in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ, the producer of life itself. And so as we begin our program, and we're coming up on the third Sunday in Ordinary Time this weekend, let us begin our show as we always do here at Clear for Takeoff. Number one, my friends, do you have a heart for God? Check. Do you have quality time set aside for God? Check. Are your Bibles open? Check. And are you free of distractions and totally focused on what we're about to do? Check. Then we are ready, my friends, to engage in the Word of God. And our first reading for this weekend coming up from the book of Nehemiah, Chapter 8, verses 2 to 4 and 5 to 6 and 8 to 10. And here it is. Ezra the priest brought the new law before the assembly, which consisted of men, women, and those children old enough to understand. Standing at the one end of the open place that was before the water gate, he read out of the book from daybreak till midday in the presence of the men, the women, and those children old enough to understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that had been made for the occasion. He opened the scroll so that all the people might see it, for he was standing higher up than any of the people. And as he opened it, all the people rose. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people. Their hands raised high, answered, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and prostrated themselves before the Lord, their faces to the ground. Ezra read plainly from the book of the law of God, interpreting it so that all could understand what was read. Then Nehemiah, that is, His Excellency, and Ezra, the priest, scribe, and the Levites, who were instructing the people, said to all the people, Today is holy to the Lord your God. Do not be sad, and do not weep. For all the people were weeping as they heard the words of the law. He said further, Go, eat rich foods and drink sweet drinks, and allot portions to those who had nothing prepared, for today is holy to our Lord. Do not be saddened this day, for rejoicing in the Lord must be your strength. the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Nehemiah, my friends, we start out with Ezra, who blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people with his words, with his time. And I pose the question to you and I, my friends, are you a blessing or a burden to other people? Are you bringing more stress to other people or reducing stress on other people? Are you blessing people with your life? How is it that you impact other people, my friends? Once again, Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people. This is something that you and I want to do. We want to be part of that. Blessing other people in different ways. And we can all be a blessing to others if we just focus on our faith and how to proceed one person, one opportunity at a time. But again, are we a blessing or a burden on other people? It should be that we are reducing the stress on other people, working hard to make their lives easier instead of more difficult. And in the word of Nehemiah, the people's hands were raised high, and they said, Amen, which is a confirmation of what was just said. And Ezra, who had blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people, was confirmed by the people when they said, Amen. And then they prostrated themselves before the Lord, their faces to the ground. My friends, here we see humility before God. We see the love of God by the people. Something we need desperately in our church and in our world today. How much humility do you and I show, either in private or in public, before God? Or do we have too much pride or ego? Do we struggle with those things, my friends, that prevent us from showing humility towards others, which is so important? And in the word today, Ezra reads plainly from the book of the law of God so everyone could understand it. And it's important to acknowledge that God's word in the Bible, the word of God, is simple. And God made it that way so that we can understand it. It doesn't have to be so complex that we don't understand it, can't live it out. And God's word is easy to understand, as the Lord spoke many times to the people. And God our Father expects us to have a childlike faith. And so because of that, the word is delivered in a simple way, not complex, so we can understand it as a child of God. And we want to proceed in that way with humility before God as a child of God, as God is our Father. It's so important to keep it simple, to be able to touch the heart and mind of other people without getting so complex like a college professor who is focused on theory. We need to get into the reality of our faith, touching the hearts of other people, lifting them up in spirit. It's critical, my friends, that you and I are able to do that ourselves as we share the word of God. Simple things, such as the golden rule, to treat others as you would like to be treated. Once again, this is the weekend that we acknowledge the Roe v. Wade case, which legalized abortion in 1973. And in the Word of God, in the book of Jeremiah 1:5, it says, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and dedicated you to become a prophet. Before he formed us in the womb, God knew us. It's very simple. The word of God is clear. It's concise. It's heart-touching. It's something we need to utilize in our decision-making process. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Yes, God knew us before we were there in our mother's wombs. And he planned it out that we would be born to a special person who is our mother. Very important, my friends, that we connect with the Word of God in a simple way. And the Word in the book of Nehemiah goes on to say this: today is holy to the Lord. Do not be sad and do not weep. So we want to keep holy, my friends, the day of the Lord. And the Lord says it in the commandments to keep holy the Sabbath day. It also goes on to say, do not be saddened this day, for rejoicing in the Lord must be your strength. And this is where we want to focus on quality time in praise and worship of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven. This is our strength. And it's confirmed in the book of Nehemiah in our first reading here today. How much quality time do we spend in praise, in worship, rejoicing in the Lord, which is to be our greatest strength, my friends. Very powerful concept that we want to live out as often as we can. Let's go to our second reading, my friends, from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 30. And here it is. Brothers and sisters, as a body is one, though it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons, and we were all given to drink of one Spirit. Now the body is not a single part, but many. If a foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it does not, for this reason, belong any less to the body. Or if an ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it does not, for this reason, belong any less to the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would belong any less to the body? And again, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God placed the parts, each one of them, in the body as he intended. If they were all one part, where would the body be? But as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. Nor again the head to the feet, I do not need you. Indeed, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are all the more necessary. And those parts of the body that we consider less honorable, we surround with greater honor. And our less presentable parts are treated with greater propriety. Whereas our more presentable parts do not need this. But God has so constructed the body as to give greater honor to a part that is without it, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the parts may have the same concern for one another. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the parts show its joy. Now you are Christ's body and individually parts of it. Some people God has designated in the church to be first, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then mighty deeds, then gift of healing, assistance, administration, and varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work mighty deeds? Do all have gifts of healing? And do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret the word of the Lord? Thanks be to God. And in the book of 1 Corinthians, through the mind and mouth of St. Paul, we see the value of the body described, and that all parts are equally important. They cannot be separated. They cannot dictate one to the other. The value of the body, which is right in line, my friends, with this weekend's acknowledgement of Roe v. Wade once again. You know, for many years, more than 60 million abortions have taken place here in the United States since Roe v. Wade in 1973. But around the world, more than 50 million abortions take place annually. And so the value of the body has diminished in the eyes of many people. And it's up to you and I to educate and to motivate these people every opportunity that we can to show them that God cares about the unborn child, which is so important. And this is a time, my friends, when we need activism. We need people to step up to the plate and to bring the message of life, the message of family life, traditional marriage between one man and one woman, the message of abortion and the philosophy behind it, which is so important, that we oppose this, not only in our homes, but in our schools, in our nation's capital, in Washington, D.C., and we take position on our faith in office as politicians, people who are elected officials in government, from the President of the United States to the U.S. Senate and to the U.S. Congress, to the State House of Representatives and to the State Senate and on the local levels. We all have a part in this, and God expects all of us to do our part to change this world for the better and to value life, to value the great gift of motherhood, the producer of life, the vehicle by which children come into the world, that great gift of motherhood that only women possess. It's very important. And the Word of God talks about, you know, the value of the body once again. And we know that in our world today, we have an abundance of abuse of the body through drugs and alcohol. And if you need help with that, my friends, get some help. Don't sacrifice any more time. Get yourself enrolled in a rehab program, a drug and alcohol program that is faith-based and able to move you forward out of your addiction to alcohol or prescription drugs or any other kind of drugs such as fentanyl, heroin, cocaine, crack cocaine. You name it, it's out there. But it's up to you and I to help our communities, our cities, our children, because they are the future. And the Word of God goes on to say this: now you are Christ's body and individual parts of it. Some people God has designated in the church to be first as apostles, second as prophets, third as teachers, fourth to do mighty deeds, Fifth, to have the gift of healing, gift of assistance or administration, or the gift of tongues. What gifts do you possess, my friends? Are you an apostle? Have you been called to be an apostle, a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you living up to that calling? Are you called to be a prophet? Can you share with others a vision for the future that God has given to you? All good things come from God. And if He's given you that vision to share, are you sharing it? Are you using your gift? Are you called to be a teacher of the faith? A teacher of morality, biblical principles, morals, values, and ethics? Are you a teacher, and are you using that gift to build up the kingdom of God? Or has that gift been put on the shelf? Think about it, my friends. Have you been called to do mighty deeds? What are you doing with your free time after work, after school? Are you giving back to the community? God says, whatever you do for the least of your brothers, you've done it for me. He calls us to do mighty deeds. But first and foremost, my friends, let's get our own homes in order before we go out to other people's homes. Let's get our own selves in order and getting right with God in the eyes of God. And there is work to do for all of us in these categories. But again, what gifts do you have, and are you using them for the greater good, to build up God's kingdom here on earth? Let's go to our gospel reading now, my friends. From the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and chapter 4, verses 14 to 21. And here it is. Since many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as those who were eyewitnesses from the beginning and ministers of the world have handed down to us, I too have decided, after investigating everything accurately anew, to write it down in an orderly sequence for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may realize the certainty of the teachings you have received. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up and read, and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And my friends, in the Gospel of Luke today, we hear from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, which is so important, which goes on to say that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. What have you been anointed to do, my friends? In your 168, as we like to say, which is the total time in a week, what are you doing with that time? Are you bringing glad tidings to the poor? Are you proclaiming liberty or freedom to captives? Freedom to people who are living in dungeons, in jails, in prisons. People who are living with addiction. Living with depression. Are you bringing liberty to those people? Are you helping to make a difference in their life? To free them up from addiction, depression, anxiety and fears, alcohol, and all kinds of drug addiction? Are you helping to recover sight to the people who are spiritually blind by bringing them the love of God, lifting them up through the love of God, through the Word of God, touching the hearts and minds of other people? Are you helping them to go free of these things that keep them down? You're bringing glad tidings, my friends, to other people. Or are you bringing negativity, depression, anger, fear? What are you bringing to the table as you come to a family member's home? Are you coming from a position of strength, or do you lack the strength? Remember, as we read in the first reading, rejoicing in the Lord is your greatest strength, and it's powerful. So we want to help people to go free of some of these addictions, some of these challenges, obstacles that they are living with. Helping people to go free and to live a good life. And the Lord's word says this in the Gospel of Luke. We want to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. In the eyes of God, is your first 2 weeks, 3 weeks of January acceptable to the Lord? What is the trend? Where are you going this year? At the end of the year, will it be a year that is acceptable to Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven? Or is it a year in which we have to beg for forgiveness and mercy once again because we took the wrong path, the wrong road? And as we continue, my friends, in a new year, let us pray that God will lift you up to live an acceptable year to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then proclaim it, touching the hearts and minds of all you come in contact with a positive message. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. That's our show for today, my friends. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a great day, and God bless. We'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Clear for Takeoff. God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.